Stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing The Covenants in Into Deep, the first Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get the Tentacle. The cards in between are awarded a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. There are five covenants in the pack, one for each class. We decided to take a look at them separately since it is the main mechanic of Into Deep. The first is the Sacred Covenant. It is a costs two experience points, as all the covenants do. It has the Covenant and Bless trait, permanent, limit one covenant per deck. So if you can play multiple covenants, because you're a guardian slash seeker, you can only put one of them in your deck. And it has the response, after an investigator at any location performs the reveal chaos token step of a skill test, exhaust Sacred Covenant, return any number of Bless tokens revealed during this test to the chaos bag, ignoring their modifiers for this test. What do you think about this covenant, Nate?
I think this is a great way for guardians or off-class guardians that are leaning heavily into the Bless mechanic to make sure that their Bless tokens aren't being used on skill tests that they would otherwise be passing. The fact that this can be activated at any location is great, so you don't have to necessarily be at the same location as the other investigator that pulls one or two Bless tokens and a zero or something like that. I think that being said, like I was saying before we started recording Man from Lang, I think part of the issue with a card like this is that as a player, you kind of get the mentality that you need to be at a certain threshold above a certain skill value before you even attempt to make those tests. And Bless tokens often are just kind of, they're kind of superfluous when you're playing that way. So you kind of have to change your whole mentality when you play with Bless. And I think that you're going to be more reliant on the whim of the bag, which is not always so kind.
Yeah, I think this is if you're leaning heavily into Bless, I think we've seen, I think Bless more than Curse at the moment really wants to keep those Bless tokens in the bag so you can trigger other effects. Such as Rite of Sanctification, you want to be able to keep those tokens in the bag so then you can play Rite of Sanctification and seal them on it. We've seen a couple other cards that are coming up in future packs that get more powerful if you're pulling Bless tokens. So especially in multiplayer, you don't want somebody at the table pulling all your Bless tokens before you get to use them. So this is a nice way of dumping those tokens back into the bag, especially if they don't need them. And I think that's the other nice thing about this card is that, at least the way I play, I always try to be two up before the pull if that's warranted, or three up depending on the scenario. And if you're playing that way, drawing a Bless token is often sort of anticlimactic because you were already going to pass the test as it was, and so this Bless token isn't going to do you any good in this particular test, but it might come in handy in a later test. So being able to say, okay, I don't need the Bless token this test, so I'm going to dump it back in the bag, and maybe I'll run into a test where I don't have the cards in my hand to get two up, and that's when I want to be drawing those Bless tokens. And this gives you a way of sort of working around that. What would you rate this covenant?
I think if you're playing the bless deck, this is definitely a plus one. I think this is probably the covenant that you consider. I think aside from that, you know, these cards are useless if you're not playing with the mechanic. So I think, you know, barring that, I would probably give it a zero.
Yeah, I think it's, I could see it being a plus one. Just, I mean, Father Mateo can actually start with this in play, as you mentioned, at the beginning of a campaign. So if you're willing to spend two of his five experience points, he has this on tap right away. And that's pretty nice because he can take the other blessed cards as well and add a lot of tokens to the bag quite quickly with cards like Keep Faith. So having this to keep those tokens in the bag until he can actually use them is quite nice. But like you said, if you're not playing with blessed tokens, then this is not a card that you're going to be interested in at all.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's the case of all of the covenants. So you know, maybe perhaps we should kind of.
Yeah, that's, you know what I mean? We're going, like, to say that for all the covenants. So so it's not really
kind of a moot point to make, but
yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I think it's pretty good. It definitely solves one of the problems with the blessed tokens. And I can, you know, I like what it does, and I like that it's part of the card pool.
The Seeker Covenant is the Blasphemous Covenant. It is costs 2 XP. It is Covenant and Cursed, permanent, limit 1 Covenant per deck. It has the response, when an investigator at your location reveals a curse token during a skill test, exhaust Blasphemous Covenant, treat that token's modifier as +1 instead of its normal modifier. After this test ends, return that token to the Chaos Bag. So this is sort of similar to the Sacred Covenant in that this provides you... with a way to sort of mitigate the impact of one curse token each turn, which is nice, but it also prevents investigators from pulling your curse tokens before you get to trigger them on effects. And we have seen cards whose value goes up considerably if you can pull a lot of curse tokens. So being able to put them back into the bag is nice.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's different, you know, comparing the previous covenant to this one, is that this one actually, I think, scales worse with number of players. I think the fact that you can only trigger it at your location, and the fact that it only affects one specific token, is definitely a shot against it. That being said, this is probably one of the better covenants for solo players, because how often are you going to be drawing curse tokens, and how many tests are you making per turn? You know, I think because you have to exhaust it, you know, you almost kind of only want to make one or two skill tests per turn. So, you know, turns like investigate, move, investigate, and you draw a curse token, you're getting maximum value out of a card like this.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. In multiplayer, if you're trying to do something like the translate the Cryptic Grimoire, people could easily, other players at the table could easily pull all of your curse tokens before you hit that magic number of 10. And this won't be enough on its own to prevent that, because you're only getting that one token per turn. But if you are playing solo and you're only taking one skill test a turn, this is very nice insurance against those curse tokens until you really want them, like we've seen that Seeker event Gate of Urash, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that.
Mythos name at the end there. which does damage depending on the number of curse tokens you pull. So you want those tokens in the bag, and this is a way of keeping them there until you need them.
Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, it helps alleviate the -2, as well as it creates a 3-point swing in your favor. So So that's nice as well, is that it ensures that you pass the skill test that you need to pass.
Yeah, exactly. What would you rate this one?
I'm almost want to give this one an Elder Sign, but I think that's more just because of my bias as a solo player, so I'm going to give it a +1.
I would agree. I would stick with a +1 on this one. I think it's if you're playing this style of deck, then you are going to be purchasing this Covenant, it will certainly help you in solo. I'm not sure it's a slam dunk in multiplayer, but it'll help.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's enough on its own. You're going to need to play enough cards that continually add curse tokens to the bag to prevent the other players from pulling them all on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully, Seekers have plenty of ways to do that. So
they sure do. They have really cornered the market on adding curse tokens to the bag. The third covenant in the pack is the False Covenant. It is a cost 2 experience points, Covenant Cursed, permanent, limit 1 covenant per deck. Response: when an investigator at your location reveals a curse token during a skill test, exhaust False Covenant, cancel that chaos token, return it to the token pool, and reveal another token. This is the card that FFG provided me to spoil. Thanks again to FFG for that. And this one is somewhat similar to the Blasphemous Covenant, except that now you are canceling that Chaos Token outright and pulling another one. Again, here's a way to mitigate the impact of one Curse Token each turn. And I think this is, if you're just adding a few Curse Tokens to the bag and you're looking for a way to mitigate them, I think this is your go-to Covenant.
Yeah, I would agree. This one, in comparison to Blasphemous Covenant, this one's definitely better in multiplayer. It still has the restriction of investigators at your location, but you know, if you're just playing Faustian Bargain and you happen to draw a curse token during a skill test, then you can just cancel it, and that's gravy. I mean, this essentially says when you draw a curse token, cancel it, and which is fine. My only criticism of this, I think because rogues don't have tons of ways like the Seekers do to add curse tokens, that this might fall to the wayside a little bit, but it's still very good.
So how would you, I guess if you were just playing Faustian Bargain, say, would you pick this card up, or do you think that you'd need to be playing more than just Faustian Bargain?
I think you would need to be playing a little more than just Faustian Bargain. And we haven't really seen much of a way of rogues, we haven't seen much payoff for rogues adding curse tokens to the bag, other than things like Skeptic. So I'm kind of remiss to, you know, to say that this is a huge slam dunk versus like the Blasphemous one. Just because Seekers have so many ways of adding curse tokens that you can pretty consistently trigger it. Whereas I think with False Covenant, you're going to have to do a little more work to be consistent in triggering it. Mm-hmm. So maybe someone like Trish, who can take Seeker cards, this might be useful for. Or, you know, maybe Jenny, if she decides to splash into Seeker as well.
Yeah. So what would you rate it? Would you stick with the +1 of the other covenants, or do you think this one comes down a peg?
I mean, if you're playing with curse tokens, if you're playing like enough cards that have curse tokens on them, this card is pretty good. If you're just looking to mitigate the effect of them, I think this one is better than Blasphemous Covenant, because it doesn't add them back into the bag. But I don't think it knocks it down a peg. I think I would still give it a +1.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think most of the covenants are quite good for what they do. We will look at one that I do not think is that good. I think if you are dabbling in with enough of the cards that add curse tokens, then having picking this up to mitigate those tokens from time to time is going to be helpful. Obviously, this is for a different style of deck than Blasphemous Covenant. If you're adding curse tokens and don't have a good way of leveraging them for other effects down the road, then canceling them outright is
probably
a better
the best thing you can do.
Is a better way to go than turning them into a +1 and then throwing them back in the bag where they'll haunt you during another skill test.
Mm-hmm. And I think what saves this card too, and much like all the covenants, is that it's permanent, so it's such a low opportunity cost to include into your deck.
Yeah.
And it's live from the start of the scenario that you don't need to. I think like part of the problem with some of these curse and bless cards is that you have to draw into them, and you kind of need the right sequence of cards for them to be most beneficial. Like for instance, like the mystic spells that we looked at earlier, you have to get a bunch of curse tokens in the bag. You have to play these, and then you have to make tests with them in order to actually see additional benefit out of it. But with these covenant cards, you just need to experience, which is a huge boon for these cards.
Yeah, and I think I like this one more than a mitigation factor like Skeptic, which is a transient card, and you get to play it once, and it might work or it might not. Where this, you have this on demand every turn from the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. and you don't have to rely on pulling that skill at some point and hope that you commit it to the right skill test at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
The Mystic Covenant is the Paradoxical Covenant. It is cost 2 experience points. Covenant Blessed and Cursed. Permanent, limit 1 covenant per deck. It has the response, after an investigator at your location performs the Reveal Chaos Token step of a skill test, if both a Blessed token and a Cursed token were revealed during that test, exhaust Paradoxical Covenant. This test automatically succeeds. Remove each Bless and Curse token revealed from the Chaos Bag after this test. I'm going to say one nice thing about this card, and that and that is that it is one of the few ways to automatically succeed at a skill test and have that online at the beginning of a game, which might be useful on harder expert difficulty. But otherwise, I think this card is awful.
I mean, I'm really inclined to agree with you. Again, it's just because part of it is that Seeker Mystics have no way of adding tokens to the bag, so they're so reliant on their out of class options. This also requires you to add both kinds of tokens to the bag and draw one of each during a skill test, and then you get to pass. So I mean, like, just the amount of hoops that you have to jump through just to get this to even trigger alone warrants its ability to automatically succeed a test.
Yeah, I did a little bit of math on this one, and I think if you have one bless and one curse token in the bag, you have a 0.4% chance of pulling both, which is not even worth talking about. And even if you have 10, say you're some sort of mystic who's able to put 10 curse tokens and 10 blessed tokens in the bag, you have a 25% chance of pulling one of those tokens, and then you've got a little bit more than 25% of pulling the second one. But I'm not too sure how the math works out, but I'm sure that trying to pull both, is the odds of that happening are just not very good.
Yeah, I think you have to be really heavily invested in cards that draw tons of tokens from the bag. You have to be heavily invested in cards that add those curse and bless tokens to the bag. So I think maybe apart from Jacqueline, I don't see any investigator including this in their deck.
Yeah, and I mean, Jacqueline can pull extra tokens, Olive can pull extra tokens, but unless you're playing those, I just don't I don't see you ever triggering this. And we've seen this sort of mechanic in a couple of cards that are coming up in future packs where you get some sort of benefit if you pull a curse and a blessed token. And I think obviously automatically succeeding at a skill test is one of the best effects you can get. But even that, it's just not going to happen often enough to warrant paying 2 experience points for it.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I am going to give this a tentacle.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. You're just never going to trigger it.
Yeah, I think if you do, I mean, I think you will trigger it maybe once a campaign. And even then, if you draw a bless and a curse token, so they're going to cancel each other out. So if you're 2 up before the test, you're still likely to pass it anyway. So
right.
The automatic success is meaningless at that point. Mm-hmm. So unless you're playing on harder expert, I just don't see this as being, you're not going to get any value from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just the amount of hoops that you have to jump through just to even get it to trigger alone, I think pretty much just pushes this card out of contention entirely.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see. I know we have Tempt Fate in the Innsmouth Conspiracy Deluxe Expansion that will add 3 Curse and 3 Bless, but even that, you're still not getting... I don't think there are enough tokens in the bag to make this worthwhile, so maybe we'll see some sort of... XP card down the road that adds a lot of curse and bless tokens to the bag to help the mystics out, but until then, this one is a stinker. The final covenant in the pack is the Ancient Covenant. It is the survivor one. It is 2 experience points. Covenant blessed, permanent, limit 1 covenant per deck. And it has the response, when an investigator at your location resolves a blessed token during a skill test, exhaust Ancient Covenant, do not reveal another token as part of this bless tokens effect. Now, speaking of automatic successes, I think this is actually much closer to an automatic success than the Paradoxical Covenant is, because as soon as you pull a blessed token with this, it's basically an auto success.
Oh, absolutely.
As long as you are, you can even be 2 down before you pull from the chaos bag, and that turns your blessed token into an auto success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I think this is the defining bless card, in my opinion. With Father Mateo, this card just gets nuts. Because you have so many good ways of adding blessed tokens to the bag early on. And with Mateo, you have the 5 experience to be able to pick this up right from the get-go. So you can get good benefit out of a card like Keep Faith or some of the other Guardian options that you might want to include. This is just good stuff overall. It solves the one of the other issues with the blessed tokens that... You know, you reveal another token and you can, you know, it's just like superfluous benefit. But in this case, it's just like drawing an extra auto success, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mateo, between his Elder Sign effect and this at the start of the game, and you play Keep Faith, you dump 4 blessed tokens in the bag and you've basically got 4 tests you're passing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus your Elder Sign ability, there's a 5th that you're going to automatically succeed. And that's a pretty nice position to be in heading into a scenario, especially with an investigator who's a mystic who has that unfortunate 4 willpower and is not quite as powerful as some of his mystic counterparts when playing cards like Shriveling and whatnot.
Yeah, what I like about this card too is it just allows you to take tests that you otherwise probably wouldn't want to be taking as Mateo. You know, say like you want to investigate a 4 shroud location with your 3 intellect. If you have a keep faith in your hand. You know, maybe you play it and you're actually able to pass a test because you can draw so many tokens with something like Olive, and you find a blessed token and you're good to go. So
yeah,
you
can share this with other investigators at your location. So if you do need that Hail Mary investigate toward the end of a game and you've managed to keep enough blessed tokens in the bag, this could be the difference between ending a scenario and it going on for another turn. Mm-hmm. The only downside is that this doesn't add the token back into the bag. So once it's pulled, it's pulled. But I'd almost rather have that auto success in my pocket than. And I mean, certainly Father Mateo being able to draw from both all the blessed cards in the Guardian card pool, as well as all the blessed tokens in the Survivor card pool, of all the investigators, he should have probably the easiest time of stacking the bag and keeping it stacked, because he can just toss enough in there to keep it topped up.
Yeah, and specifically with Mateo too, he gets access to all this mystic cards that actually allow you to see multiple tokens, so you can more reliably trigger it. What's interesting about Ancient Covenant versus Sacred Covenant, it's similar to the comparison of Blasphemous and False Covenant, is that the Ancient Covenant kind of serves a different purpose, where you want to be actively drawing the blessed tokens, but with Sacred Covenant, this is more of a card that allows you to play things like a Rite of Sanctification to use those blessed tokens as a resource rather than just successes and skill tests.
So is this good enough to warrant an Elder Sign?
In Father Mateo, I think absolutely. But I think in other investigators, I'm trying to think of other off-class survivors that would really leverage blessed tokens. Like in Sister Mary, this would be great, but she can't take it. So I'm trying to think of another investigator that would really want this card. I think Sister Mary probably wants Sacred Covenant anyway, but
maybe Tommy?
Maybe, yep. He definitely has the card pool to add tons of blessed tokens. He also has a 3 intellect too, which I think allows you to feel comfortable making enough tests to reliably trigger the Ancient Covenant. Maybe Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the mystic one is so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if Agnes wants a covenant, then this is the one to go for sure.
Maybe even, no, you probably wouldn't want it in Min. Min probably wants curse tokens, if anything. Yeah, I think the only problem with Ancient Covenant is just finding enough investigators that want it.
Yeah,
but I don't think that speaks to anything against the card. I think that just kind of maybe speaks to Bless as a mechanic. I'm not really sure.
It could get pretty silly if you had like Father Mateo and he teamed up with somebody like William Yorick, and both of them took this and both of them were playing blessed tokens to keep the bag consistently full of tokens. And then they had this so they could constantly shore up, turn those tokens into successes. And so you have those two and then two other investigators at the table. They don't even have to be playing the blessed mechanic, and you've got a lot of tests in that bag that are going to be successes.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that this card does is it also prevents you from drawing multiple blessed tokens in a single test as well, which is also nice so that you're not wasting them.
Right. Yeah, so that has happened to me playing Sister Mary, where I've pulled, I pulled 3 in one test, which, I mean, great, I got +6, but I didn't need +6, so
right,
capping that would be nice.
Yeah, so I could see like maybe like somebody that's teaming up with Sister Mary maybe wants this card too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a you know, like maybe you're not the one adding the blessed tokens and Sister Mary is all in on that, but she can't play this covenant. Right. So maybe she takes the sacred covenant to ensure that you don't draw any superfluous ones, and then you can use the ancient covenant to kind of combo with her adding blessed tokens. So
yeah, this is a man, the more I talk about it, the more I want to give this an elder sign, but I think I have to settle on plus one just because it is contingent on the fact that you need to be playing the tokens, and you really need to combo this with other cards that are adding blessed tokens to the bag. So it's not a mindless a pickup. You've got to put some thought into the deck that you're building that wants this. But I think if you're Father Mateo or any sort of off-class survivor or survivor that is playing around with the blessed tokens, this is definitely a good pickup.
I will say that this is probably an elder sign in like hard and expert difficulty, because the blessed tokens get so much more value in scaling difficulties that this is probably just a huge slam dunk in those types of style of decks.
Yeah, because even if you say if you're playing on expert and you pull up a blessed token, which would be the plus two, but I mean there's still that minus eight lurking in the bag, and this just stops that dead in its tracks, and you don't have to worry about that minus mm-hmm. eight. So you could actually be passing tests you really have no business passing in those harder difficulties. And that's always the biggest issue when you're playing on harder expert, is that taking skill tests is no longer is constantly a problem. There's just so much more variance in the bag to deal with, and this puts an end to that to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
At least once per turn.
So question for you, Man from Lang. If you had to rank all of the covenants, obviously paradoxical covenants on the bottom, but how would you rate the other four?
I think I like the ancient covenant probably. I don't know. It's hard to rank them besides paradoxical, which is clearly at the bottom. The others are sort of, I'd probably put blasphemous at the top along with ancient covenant, just because they're really helping out those styles of decks. And then I would maybe put sacred below that, followed by false. Mm-hmm. But they're awfully close together. I mean, you're definitely, each sort of has a purpose in the deck that they are designed for. Sacred keeps the tokens in the bag so you can use them, which is what investigators want if they're playing the bless mechanic. Blasphemous does the same for curse tokens and mitigates them somewhat. False lets you cancel the tokens if you're dabbling a little bit with the curse mechanic, and ancient just turns blesses into auto successes basically. So how would you rank them?
I think I'm kind of in a similar boat. I kind of want to rate ancient covenant as maybe the best one, just because I think ancient covenant is the easiest one to build around. I think Blasphemous Covenant is also very easy to build around, but the curse tokens have a much more real cost to them versus the blessed tokens, I think. And then maybe Sacred and False Covenant would kind of be in the same kind of power level, just because I think those two covenants are kind of more insurance policies than they are like a kind of an active cog in your deck's machine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah, when you look at it that way, I think ancient is would be the best of them, because you're as long as you're able to pull a bless token, if you're playing with bless, then there's no downside at all to this.
Right, exactly.
Whereas blasphemous, you're still having to deal with the curse tokens eventually. It will mitigate one per turn, but they're still in there, and potentially will cause you to fail tests unless you use them to pull, or you pull them for other effects and stuff like that. And Sacred is more just of an insurance policy. It doesn't necessarily help you. It's not going to help you pass or fail a test. It's just nice to keep the tokens around.
Right. It's there to fuel your rite of sanctifications and things like that. It's not there to ensure that you pass tests.
And false, I think you could, I mean, depending on how you feel about curse tokens, you could take it or leave it. Like, mm-hmm. if you find that you're pulling too many of them, then sure, you pick this up. But I mean, if you're just playing Faustian Bargain and that's the only curse token card that adds curse tokens to the bag, I don't think I'd bother with picking it up.
Yeah, same. But it is, with False Covenant, at least if you have a teammate that perhaps is playing with a lot of curse cards, then you know, like maybe there's like three people at the table all playing Faustian Bargain, then maybe this gets a little bump in its stock. But yeah, apart from that, I think that's a pretty fair assessment of them, honestly. Paradoxal is just terrible. I don't understand.
Yeah, its stock will rise considerably after we see the next five packs, but right now I'm not seeing it. So how would you rank this pack overall?
Overall, I think this is a really solid pack for Seekers, Rogues, Mystics, and Survivors. I think Guardians kind of get the short end of the stick, right? Whistle's not a very exciting card. And Righteous Hunt is a very... I think it's pretty good, but it's very niche in what it does. And I think depending on how you feel about the collection of spells for the Mystics, I think Mystics kind of also got the short end of the stick too. So,
yeah, I would agree. I think the Seekers clearly get the best here. Rogues get at least one good card. Survivors get a good card. And then I would probably put the Guardians at the bottom, just because the Mystics, it's really hard to judge at this point whether these cards will pay off or not mm-hmm. down the road.
I do think that with regards to the Mystic cards, that these have a lot more potential to be good versus the Guardian cards.
Exactly.
Like the Guardian cards, we know what they're going to do. Like Righteous Hunt is going to be, I think, niche to Mateo and maybe certain standalone decks where you need to be able to engage and move on a regular basis, but with the Mystic cards, like, these could potentially be pretty good. So
yeah. All right, well, thank you very much for joining me, Nate. We'll be back in a month's time with Devil Reef. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I am also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.